tonight, we try to exalt you just a little bit concerning the kingdom of God and the things of God. You know, it is my conviction that people have come to the place where they feel that there is no more to learn and nothing else to do, or that there is nothing else to be brought to me. It is my opinion that those people are missing the most glorious experience that has ever been given to mankind. I'm sure that today Moses and Elijah, men like Brother Branham, could be living, but they would tell you that this is what they preach and look forward to. This is the one thing that we look forward to. I thank the Lord, I feel one or two spirits that's gone off the wrong direction after they sang that song. I asked Brother Taylor not to write that song like that, but he did it anyway. And I felt there was something that was right. I felt the spirit off in the wrong direction. But I still love you, brother. I thank a lot of you, and I still love you. You're a fine person. And God will help you. Anyway, God is good to us. I appreciate Brother James' boldness in standing for God. I don't claim to be a prophet, or even a good preacher, let alone a prophet. And my wife, I'm too sure I'm never a good Christian. But we better make us get along. Anyway, I thank the Lord for what He's doing, and I do believe that the revelation of the Lord Jesus is the right way. I believe that with all my heart. And I know that the revelation of the Lord doesn't belong to me, it belongs to anybody, it belongs to the Lord Jesus Christ. It is His revelation and not mine. Paul spoke one time of His much revelation. God does give us much revelation. And when it comes to the revelation of Jesus Christ, in the book of Revelation, it starts in chapter 1, it says, the revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave unto Him, that is, unto Jesus, to shew unto His servants things which must shortly come to pass, and soon signified it by His angel unto His servant John. So, it is His revelation, and it is supposed to come forth at this last time. I thank the Lord because He has been kind enough to talk with me and make me to understand the revelation of the Lord Jesus. And I just praise God for the opportunity to be here in the church, to be able to exalt you and talk to you just a little bit concerning the revelation of the Lord. Now, I will say this one thing. While I don't claim to be anything, I do say one thing, that if we're not more than a prophet, we're in bad shape. That's all I say. If you're not more than a prophet, I believe we've had great prophets. I believe Brother Branham was a prophet. I believe Moses was a prophet. I believe the others were a prophet. But if we're not more than a prophet, we're in bad shape. So it was said concerning John that there was none greater among the prophets, even Moses and Abraham was not. He greater than John, there's none greater among them. But he said the very least member of the body of God, which is the body of the Lord Jesus Christ, was greater than John. So if we're not greater than the prophets, we're backing up in the age of religion. So I thank the Lord for His blessings and for His kindness and for being with us and for helping us. If you've got your Bibles, I'd like to read just a little bit from the book of St. Luke. I only said those things because we strained the neck and swallowed a camel. Jesus said, blind leaders of the blind, they strain the neck and swallow a camel. And if you call a man a prophet, they think you've overdone it. But the truth is, if you don't praise Him as the body of God, you've overdone it. And I just praise God for the fact that I realize that you're more than a prophet. Jesus said you're God's. And a lot of times if you praise an individual, a spirit of jealousy that is on the ministry and on the brethren, say you don't praise man, you praise God. But I disagree with you. I believe in praising people. Paul said in a good thing, I praise you. And I believe in his teaching, so I believe like he does. I believe in a good thing, I praise. I'll praise you for every good deed you do. But in that which is wrong, I won't praise. I also believe in glorifying God within man. Paul said they glorify God within me. I believe that we're bone in his bone and flesh in his flesh. That we are the only body of God in the earth. We are the temple of God. That we are the tabernacle of God among men. Now I know sometimes I feel some spirits disagree with that, but it nevertheless, it is true that we are, and I will fall out with you. You believe whatever you want to. Whatever you want to, that's fine. It's your business. You've got to answer God for that, and I've got to answer God for what I believe and what I preach to you. But this is the way I believe. I believe that we are the eternal God. I don't believe there is another God except us. Amen. Now, you might say, Brother Park, I sure believe you've gone off on the deep end. Well, that was the end I was looking for. Well, I was a large out into the deep, and that's the end I was looking for.
Praise God.
Now, my Brother Brandon said one time they called him a fanatic. He went and searched out to try to find out what a fanatic was, and he found out that a fanatic was somebody that believed something and felt like everybody else ought to believe the same thing. He said, well, I'm a fanatic. So, I believe the Bible, and I feel like everybody else ought to believe it too. Now, I believe that there's one God, and I believe that you are that God. And that's the only God there is. I believe that Jesus Christ is the head to that God. And he's the only head there is.
Amen.
Now, our measures differ. We have measures according to the grace of God given unto us. According to the faith that God has placed within our heart, we have measures. In the army, they have captains, they have sergeants, they have generals. And then, of course, you have a president or a king. And since Jesus is our king, then I believe in my heart, he's already going to testify a little bit. I believe in my heart that this is the army of Jehovah. Whether you believe that or not, I don't know. But the Lord said, I will bring forth my mighty army, saith God. They will march hand in hand. They will not break ranks. They will not pierce each other through. They will speak the same thing, and they will see eye to eye. I believe it's one message, and not two. I believe that the man that's got it will speak it. I believe that the true men of God will come together. A lot of people say, well, we'll just never be able to see eye to eye, Brother Pye. But I've got to think of it, if you don't, you won't make the rest. According to the Bible, God's family will see eye to eye, and they will speak the same thing, and they will march hand in hand, and they will not break ranks, and they will not gossip and backbite and pierce each other through.
Praise God.
Now, so according to what I preach and what I believe, that's the way it is. I am a firm believer that we have restored too little honor upon the body of Jesus. I think that we have cut them short of the glory and of the honor and the praise that belongs unto them. And this is my conviction that we have gossiped, we've been backbiting, we've been doing evil things. It's all our God, and we have injured our souls, and we have it on our record in the day of the judgment. That inasmuch as we did it to them, we did it unto God. And even the saints shall judge the world, and yet no man shall judge them. It is my firm conviction that whatever you have done, the least of them, you've done it unto the Lord Jesus.
Amen.
That if I praise Brother John Lane, then I praise God. If I don't praise Brother John Lane, I haven't praised God. If I love Brother John Lane and I do unto Brother John Lane righteousness, then I have done it unto God. He said, I was in prison and you visited me not. I was hungry and you did not feed me. I was naked and you didn't clothe. And they said, Lord, we saw you like this and did not minister unto you. And he said, inasmuch as you did it not to the least of these, you did it not unto me. Because it is the body of Christ and the Holy Ghost suffers the infirmities of
one king, that's Jesus. But I differ with some of you concerning my conviction on those things. I do not believe that we have but one king. I believe that we've got a number of kings. And I believe that those kings have power and authority in the earth today. The Bible tells me that in the millennium there will be kings that shall sit upon thrones. And the Bible speaks of them. He told the disciples, they said, "What shall we receive? We've left all to follow you." He said, "When I sit upon my throne," he said, "then you yourself shall sit upon 12 thrones, beside me judging the 12 tribes of Israel." In Revelation 19, the writer said, "I beheld until thrones were cast down and all the powers were cast down." And then he said, "I saw thrones and they that sat upon them, to them was given judgment," which I believe has to do with the 12 apostles and the judgment that they will have. Not only in the millennium will there be kings that will rule over 30 cities and 60 cities and 100 cities, but there will be kings in the celestial earth after that the millennium is passed. For the Bible said the kings of the earth shall bring their glory into that city. There will be great rulers, great kings. Now the way I believe it is not that we have one king, we just have one King of Kings.
Amen.
The Bible said he is the King of Kings. And it's for sure that if there is no kings in the earth, if there is no rulers, he cannot be the King of Kings, because there won't be any kings to be king of. But you can be sure there will be great kings, great men, great powers, great dignitaries, great authorities in the new earth and in the millennium earth, and you will be subject to those powers.
Amen.
You will go to God through these great powers. It's just like today, if I want to get to the president, I can't walk up to the White House and walk right in. I can't do that. But if I go through the proper channels and the proper connections, I can get a word from the president. Now, this is a great privilege of the bride of Christ. That's why we believe in the bride of Christ. The great privilege of the bride of Christ is that she's going to sit down in the throne with him. Heaven is a strong earth, as he looks to. A lot of room in heaven. Going to sit down in the throne with him. She's going to be right there with him, wherever he goes and whatever he does. I tell you what, there is so much in what we're saying this morning until I know that some of you could never understand. But I trust that the Lord will enlighten your heart to what you can. You got your Bibles? I'd like for you to read with it. Always remember this one thing. Keep it well in mind. When you hear a person that is trying to convince you that somebody is not a prophet, somebody is not a king, or somebody is not to be praised, you number him, put him down in your little book. He is of the devil, or he is a baby Christ that doesn't understand. Because it is one way or another. He is anointed Satan. He caused division and confusion. He is blind, cannot see a ball, and don't know where he's going. Now, because if he does know what he's doing, not only will he praise the men of God and the body of Jesus Christ, not only will he praise them, but he will esteem them worthy of double honor, because the Bible says to do that. And he not only will esteem them, but the Bible says he shall esteem them very highly for their work's sake. Very highly for their work's sake. So you will know whether or not the man is of Satan and has a spirit of jealousy and spends his time from place to place trying to tear down that which God has built up. I want to remind you again of these things before I read. When the Lord Jesus came to introduce Moses, when God himself, Elohim, came to introduce Moses, this is the way he came. A lot of times a man will come to the platform, he will introduce a minister. Now, a lot of times he cuts the minister short, because that is the nothing less than the temple of the living God that stood up before you. And it is not the man that is speaking, but it is the eternal God that is coming in your presence from within the temple to speak to you. Anything that you can say, cutting short of the glory that he deserves. Judgment begins in the house of God. A lot of people say, well, Brother Pike, I'm not going to praise flesh. But Paul said, I will praise you, that's flesh. I will praise you, that's flesh. I will praise you in a good thing. Because the Bible said you are bone of his bone and flesh of his flesh. And his bone, his flesh deserves praise. So if we need to understand which direction we're going. Now when Moses came and Moses stood before the tabernacle, God came down and God said, Miriam and Aaron, he said, you've done a lot of moaning, a lot of groaning. He said, but I want you to come over here near this tabernacle. Now then, you said Moses wasn't this and Moses thinks he's the only prophet and Moses this and Moses that. He said, come over here, I'm going to have a talk with you. When they got over there, he turned to the people and he turned to Miriam and Aaron. He spoke to them after this fashion. He said, there, is there any other man in all the earth by my servant Moses?
Hallelujah.
He said, if there's a prophet among you, I will show myself to him in dreams and in visions. He said, but not like my servant Moses, for I will speak face to face with you. Somebody said, Brother Pike, that was Moses. I tell you, if we're not in better shape than Moses, we're backing up. I said, if the body of Jesus Christ ain't in better shape than Moses, well, we're backing up.
Amen.
He that is least in the kingdom is greater than Moses. If he spoke face to face with Moses, I know he'll speak face to face with us today. So then, we begin to introduce Moses. He told Moses, he said, look, Moses. He said, I think a lot of you. So much as it's going to make you a god to the people. Make you a god to Aaron. Somebody said, now watch out for the pipe. You'll overdo it. You'll overdo it. There's a sister right now. You hear that? You strike her just right. Say, you'll overdo it. If you do that, you'll overdo it. But God wasn't worried about overdoing it. He wasn't worried about overdoing it. Somebody said, you'll overdo it now if you say too many good things about the body of Christ. But God said, I'm just going to make you God. Is that good enough, Moses? See, he wasn't satisfied with people just calling us the body. He said, I'm going to make you God. Jesus said, ye are God. That's what he called you. You're God. Now, a God is something that can't die. But you have to know a God can't die. A God is made to be praised. How many know that? That's what God is. He's not again God. He's made to be praised. He said, I will make them to come and kneel at your feet. He didn't say his feet. He said, your feet. You know why? Because your feet are his feet. He will make them to praise you. You know why? Because your bones are his bones. Your flesh is his flesh. You can cut short of your blessings, cut short of your glory, cut short of that which belongs to you. Somebody said, well, I'm afraid, Brother Pike, that I'll give the glory of God to a man. Well, don't worry about it. He beat you to it. He done it before you ever got there. Amen. So don't worry about it. It's okay. The Bible says, Father, glorify these for the same glory that I had with you before the world. So Father, make these one. I won't give my glory to another, but you're not another. Your bone is bone, flesh is flesh. My servant before my face. So then the body of Christ scripture that it's not God, it's the spirit of Satan. It isn't God, because if Jesus is the same yesterday and then forever, he'll speak the same thing. That's the way he talked in the Old Testament, that's the way he talks in the New. So he said that this, if you don't mind me saying it like this, he said, this latter house is a greater light and worthy of all praise and honor and glory than Moses was for his house. Because this is the very house itself. This is the one God lives in. And it's a beautiful thing. It's the most beautiful. The White House looks good that the president lives in, but it don't look like the house that Christ lives in. This is a beautiful house. A beautiful house. Hallelujah. Now, in chapter 9 of the book of St. Luke, I'm going to read just a little bit. In the 19th or in the 18th verse, and it came to pass as he was along praying, his disciples were with him, and he asked him, saying, whom say the people that I am? They answered and said, John the Baptist, but some say Elias, and others say that one of the old prophets is risen again. He said unto them, but whom say ye that I am? Peter answering said, the Christ of God. And he straightly charged them and commanded them to tell no man that thing, saying, the Son of Man must suffer many things and be rejected of the elders and chief priests and scribes and be slain and be raised the third day. And he said to them all, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it. But whosoever will lose his life for my sake, the same shall save it. For what is a man's advantage if he gain the whole world and lose himself or be cast away? For whosoever shall be ashamed of me and of my words, of him shall the Son of Man be ashamed when he shall come in his own glory and in his Father's and of the holy angels. But I tell you the truth, there be some standing here which shall not taste of death till they see the kingdom of God. And it came to pass about an 8th day after these things, he took Peter and John and James and went up into a mountain to pray. And as he prayed, the fashion of his countenance was altered, and his raiment was white and glistening. Behold, there talked with him 2 men, which were Moses and Elias, who appeared in glory and spake of his decease, which he should accomplish in Jerusalem. But Peter and they that were with him were heavy with sleep. And when they were awake, they saw his glory, and the 2 men that stood with him. And it came to pass, as they departed from him, Peter said unto Jesus, Master, it is good for us to be here. Let us make 3 tabernacles, one for thee, and one for Moses, and one for Elias, not knowing what he said. While he thus spake, there came a cloud and overshadowed him, and they feared as they entered into the cloud. There came a voice out of the cloud saying, this is my beloved Son, hear him. When the voice was passed, Jesus was found alone, and they kept him close and told no man in those days any of those things which they had seen. And it came to pass that on the next day, when they were come down from the hill, much people met him. And behold, a man of the company cried out, saying, Master, I beseech thee, look upon my son, for he is my only child. And all the spirit taketh him, and he suddenly cried out, and he tarried him, and he fought again, and bruising him hardly, departed from him. And I besought my disciples to cast him out, and they could not. And Jesus answering said, O faithless and perverse generation, how long shall I be with you and suffer you? Bring thy son hither. And as he was yet a coming, the devil threw him down and tarry him. And Jesus rebuked the unclean spirit and healed the child and delivered him again to his father. And they were all amazed at the mighty power of God, but while they wondered everyone in all things which Jesus did, he said to his disciples, let these things sink down into your ears, for the Son of Man shall be delivered into the hands of men. But they understood not the saying, and it was hid from them, that they perceived it not, and they feared to ask him of that saying. That then there arose a reasoning among them which of them should be greatest. Jesus, perceiving the thought of their heart, took a child and said, that to me is very outstanding is the fact that the Lord Jesus here in talking to the people, he makes the statement that when they awoke, they saw his glory. And I believe that when we wake up, when we really get away, that we're going to see the glory of God. Now the first thing that we would say, Brother Potter, I'm not asleep. But I know that you are asleep. I know that you are asleep. Because He said it doesn't make me feel bad at all. He said, to the contrary, it makes me feel real good. He said, I like it pretty good. So then I also noticed, like I said earlier in some of our statements, the very being criticized and tied down helps you lift up a person. You never hear them complaining about other people praising them as an individual. You can say all the good things you want to say about it, and they'll never complain. I've never heard one complain in all my ministry. So if I won't praise you, that's all right. I praise my people. I lift my people up. I encourage my people. I believe I've got the best people in the world. I believe it. Amen. If you've got any better, then you ought to bring them around. Let me hear. Let me preach them a while. I'll find out whether it's good or not. Hallelujah. Jack told you, Dad, the top of the biggest 10 in the world. He said, if you got a big one, let me know about it. If you got better people than I have, then let me know about it. I'll tell you a good way to put them to the test. Come, let me preach them a while. If they don't go through the fire, then I feel like it's just my boat. Hallelujah. Somebody said, Brother White, ain't slacking like the Jews? No, not at all. When you stand up and say you're the best person, you got to be like the Jews. But if God wants to praise you, grumbling and grumbling. You better get up and believe what I'm telling you. Because I'll tell you what, if you don't, there's a young group that's got their ears all perked up to see what this thing is about. And I'll tell you what, you may reject it, but they won't believe it. Hallelujah. Like the insurance man. He came the other day, he wanted to write some insurance. He got the names and ages of our people, and he said, "Mine." He said, "This people that you're leading is a young people." He said, "According to insurance, he said, this is young folks that you got. So you need the young people out here." And that's what I believe. I believe they are ready for death. Hallelujah. The Bible says you renew your youth. You're born again, you're just a little old lady. Got young all over you. I'm getting better. Hallelujah. There's nothing to this. If we let God bless us, we just let down the gap, so to speak, and let God bless. everybody else. Maybe it's in my cup running over. Hallelujah. Feel that. Fill my cup to the brim, Lord. Fill my cup and let it run over. Hallelujah. I can feel the presence of God as it motivates, as it moves.
Fuck!
It's our street. You don't have any joy, Lord. You can't do anything. If you go out here and preach a sermon, how are you going to preach a sermon if you don't have any joy? The Bible says it's still a priest. The Bible says we're filled with the joy of God. How are you going to preach if you don't have the joy of the Lord? How are you going to have perseverance? How are you going to have strength? How are you going to tell people about the joy of the unspeakable and full of God? See that you don't even experience it. Hallelujah. It's hard to say. Hallelujah. The glory of God, when they awoke, they saw His glory. There are so many things I'd like to say this morning, but I'm not going to hold you any longer. The joy of the Lord is your strength. When they awoke, they saw His glory. Have you seen His glory? If you haven't seen His glory, you need to wake up. Like we sang the little song about Mary had a little lamb. The voice of His Father ring out through the deep, and the angels went to wake Him up so that Mary would not weep. Hallelujah. Mary had a little lamb, the Lamb of God that died in the temple. Hallelujah. She had a little lamb, all right. Hallelujah. You say, who is it? It's you. It's you and you and you. That's Mary's little lamb. Hallelujah. Kill all that they are, the parent of the sheep and the star. Yea, these men are more than God. Through Him and us, David said, every one of you. So I know that you suffer heartaches, mental torture. I know that you suffer spiritual disorders, physical disorders, poverties, curses, and abuse. I know that every day you do. But God made you to be His wife. He made you to be His wife. Hallelujah. I'm not going to let that spirit I just felt in the room. Such a sweet thing. I like being sick. Sometimes an old parrot, you know, he'd be sitting there on the riverbank bend, be fishing, getting some good bites. An old parrot, he'll stick his head up out of the water to make you think ain't nothing down there but terrapins to kill the joy of the fish. But the bad thing to do is whack you on the head and go right on the fish. Amen. He's just trying to rub you off so he can get the fish. That's all. Jesus, I'll make you fish for me. He just wants to run you off so he can get the fish. But we're going to keep on fishing. Well, I'm not going to bite. We're going to keep fishing. Hallelujah.
Praise God.
You love the Lord?
Amen.
All right, let's sing a little chorus together. I was hoping Brother James would go ahead and preach. So when I sat back there, I said, well, I'm late, Brother. Maybe Greg will preach. And I got Eddie Greg up here. And when Frank got up, Frank got all started. I said, Frank, he'll preach. Maybe I'll let him preach. Then he said, I'm James God. He knows the fellow James. I said, maybe James will preach this morning. I really want to hear him preach. He said some good things this morning. But then, when the time came, then I had to preach. But I thank the Lord for the opportunity to preach to you, to talk with you about the things of God. I wish you could have been with us down in Old Mexico. The elders we preached. I was talking to them, Zell Thomas, get up and deliver his soul. And the audience in the big church, Brother James, was packed, slapped back to the wall, and the altar call was given.